Good morning.
Good morning, Jan.
This morning's reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, as he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand in the on the seashore. Amen.
Turn our attention to Abraham, and really, even for the novice Bible student, talk about the hall of fame of faith that Hebrews 11 talks about. They lift up these heroes of the Old Testament. Some of them are kind of difficult for us because we maybe don't know their stories, but even for the fairly new to the Old Testament story, we know Abraham. He plays a big part in all that goes on. No hall of fame of faith in the Old Testament would be complete without the story of Abraham. It is Abraham with whom God made the covenant that becomes then really the story of the Old Testament. It is from this covenant with Abraham that we hear the concept of the promised land becomes a reality. The promised land that Israel will one day occupy. It is from this that we hear this idea of the chosen people, those whom Abraham would be the father of, the descendant of, and how that will play a significant role, not only in the history of the Jewish people through a couple thousands of years, but also for all of us as we understand that the blessing that is going to come through this chosen people will be the blessing for all the world. This is Jesus. So without the story, without the Old Testament, without Abraham in the midst of this Old Testament, we would really be just adrift of not knowing exactly where to go. You know, it is through his son Isaac that all the Jewish people trace their ancestry. I know this is a message for another day. It's through his son Ishmael that all the Arabic Muslim people trace their ancestry too. So it's kind of a weird coming together of the significance of how our world is comes and flows through this one individual. It is here in the Bible story that we see that Abraham is the one who leaves his home and goes to this land that God is going to show him, which becomes then the promised land, Israel, and the heart of 99% of where the Bible takes place. And so we see this is where we're going to go. I'm going to, before we jump into the section here in Hebrews, as it lifts up Abraham as an example for us. And there's a lot of places. In fact, this section here in Hebrews 11, if you're reading through, Jen stopped partway through. I had her stop partway through rather than reading the entire story of what Hebrews says about Abraham. Because there's a lot of points where we could say, this is a man who is part of this hall of fame, part of this encouragement for all of us to live by faith. And we can see a lot of examples of how it is that we are to live by faith. But I'm going to start by looking at this opening paragraph, that it is by faith that he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Any of you feel that way? All right, guys, it's okay to admit it. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. But don't ask for directions. Whatever you do, that's against the man code. You can't do it. How many times, Lori, have I said, trust me, I know what I'm doing, only to demonstrate over and over again, I have not a clue. I'm going to jump back a little bit, just do a little bit of the backstory. This is how the story of Abraham begins in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 12. This is where this story begins to change from some of the great ancient stories of the Bible into what we understand as this covenant being revealed. This is the call of Abraham in chapter 12, verse 1. It says, The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. That's Abram's part. Okay, that's what he's called to do. Now, here's God's part. If Abram does his part, this is what God says he will do. For I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. Bless you. I say, God says, I will bless you, and then I've got to say, God bless you, because of, you know, that's just incredible. There are no coincidences. Thank you very much. You know, my friend Fred Pillsbury used to always say that. That was one of Fred's, or he believed that coincidences should always be spelled with a capital C, because God is up to something in those. Okay, so this is what God says. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Story goes on. I'll just read that part here. Just as a reminder, that is what we what we understand as the heart of the covenant that God makes with Abraham, that then he begins to walk out, that he is going to create a people, and those people are going to have a place. And that place is going to be special for those people for the purpose of bringing a blessing for all the world. This becomes the heart of the Old Testament covenant. When Jesus says, I am the new covenant, he is saying that he is the fulfillment of that covenant. He is that blessing which comes to all of us, and it comes through this man, Abram. So all these things happen, and Abram becomes now our hero of the faith. So again, going to that first verse, by faith, Abram, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Again, it's not the idea that he didn't know where he was going that is being commended. It's the fact that though he didn't know where he was going, he obeyed and went. Now, this is in a day before GPS on your phone. This was in a day before we had Google searches on your computer. This was in a day when we didn't have even picture books of faraway places and exotic lands where we say, I want to go and visit that place someday. Abram is told, leave everything you know, trust me, and go. Now, this is part of the story of Abram, part of the context of Abram, that why would he do this? Only because, and this is how we have to begin to see it, that though he didn't know where he was going and he didn't know what the future held for him, he knew who was calling him, who was directing him. Ralph Abernathy said it this way, and I love the way he put it, I don't know what the future may hold, but I do know who holds the future. And this becomes kind of part and parcel with the Abraham story, because really, what does he know about God to this point? Very little, except that God called him. God made promises to him, invited him to trust him, and then to go, not knowing what was out there, not knowing where he was going. This is so hard for us. Again, we are, in our humanness, we tend so much to be locked into how I'm going to craft or create or somehow control the world, my future, the environment around me. But the Abram story calls us deeper into our walk with God. When he says that he wants us to come and to walk with him, he's inviting us to a new adventure that we may not know fully and may never see fully until the day that we see him face to face. Is it okay with you that you may not know the completeness of your life, your purpose, your impact while you are on this world, living in this life? Is it okay with you that we may have to wait until we see Jesus face to face to fully understand what all this has been about for us and through us? Can we trust him that he's good enough, that he can take all those things that don't seem to add up to us, those things that we wish hadn't happened to us, those things that sometimes we're having a difficult time walking through? Can we trust him enough to say, I know he is good, and I may not know what my future holds, but I know it is he who holds it for me? You know, reading on, and again, Jen read this for us, I love that phrase getting into verse 10, actually 9 and 10, where it says, by faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in a place that he was promised, your descendants will be here, this will be your promised land, and forever this will be yours. But for now, you're living like a foreigner. This world, Abraham, he didn't write the song, but he could have sung the song. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. Can we agree with that? That this world we live in here today, as good as it can be at times, as hard as it can be at times, is not our home. But we were made for something more. This is the story of Abraham. This is what he is all about. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in that same promise. And here's the kicker. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Friends, that's what we're invited to. This is what the author of Hebrews is pointing out to us, that there is a motivation, there is a reason, there is an ability to continue to press on, to go through the challenges and the struggles of life, because we are rooted in a faith that's looking forward to what is yet to come, looking forward to what has been promised, though we cannot see it with our eyes. To look forward to the day when we meet Jesus face to face, when we're able to say, my time is done, and I can hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. Friends, we can hold on to that reality, and I think that's what the Bible is trying to tell us, that we need to live our life in the present and be very present where we are, even as we have one eye looking forward to that day, because that's what keeps us going through all the ups and downs, through all the various seasons of our life, the joys as well as the sorrows. That is what is intended to keep us going. Abraham lived like a foreigner in this place that was promised to him because it was not his home. He was looking forward to a day when that completion would come, when the city would have foundations, and the architect and builder of that city is God himself. There is something so profound in the way that this is woven here for us that we too are called to live in that same way. The Apostle Paul calls us to do the same thing as we look at the New Testament. It picks up on this very same theme. The song we sang at the beginning of the service this morning, that earth has no sorrow, that heaven can't heal. Thank you, Jenny, for selecting that today, by the way. Where's my girl with her 49er shirt on? There she is. No coincidence. No coincidence is right. No coincidence. Because that is the reality that we can hold on to. You know, in 2 Corinthians 4, I would encourage you to take a look at this, even though it doesn't mention Abraham by name. Take a look, because this is Abraham's story given here now to us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, and it'll go on into chapter 5 too, so if you want a little further, you'll see it there. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us, what? An eternal glory. It is through this trail that we are walking. It is walking faithfully in Jesus' presence as we go through the challenges and the struggles, light and momentary, though they seem like they're going to be lasting forever. In the context of eternity, they are only for a time. And that eternal glory that outweighs them all. So Paul says, so we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Friends, that's what Paul is inviting us to, exactly the same thing as what Abraham lived, to be able to live this life fully present with what God is doing, but with an eye to the future, to that which is yet to come. To live and allow that to begin to shape how we interact and how we respond to the world around us. If you were to read through 2 Corinthians, the very next few phrases is going to pop up and we get into chapter 5. And I love this part here. Maybe you've heard it and we talk about this, but hold on to this thought. This is what Paul is saying. This is how we begin to live with an eye towards the future. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, again, using a different analogy here, but again, the idea is the same, that we have a building from God. What does that sound like? That sounds like this architect and builder of the city that Abraham was looking forward to. It sounds like the same thing. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven that is not built by our ingenuity. It's not built by our hard work. It's not built by our doing better than the person next to us, by our competition, by our winning Super Bowls or anything else. It is not built by human hands. It is afforded to us by grace. And we can take hold of that and live in that light. A couple of verses later, verse 4, Paul says, "For we, while we are in this tent, we groan, we are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but be clothed instead in our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal can be swallowed up by life." You know, this is one of those weird things, and sometimes, and I don't know if I'll talk about it, probably won't talk about it this way on Thursday with Fred, but it's true for all of us. We all look at life in this way, that life, we are born, and then life ends when we die. And that is such an unbiblical way of seeing the world. That is so not like this model of Abraham for us, who was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He is looking beyond what we can see to the unseen and living in that reality, because that gives him the ability to live in this world, recognizing that it's not our home. But we are looking forward to something far bigger, so that what is mortal, that's what we call life, can be swallowed up by life, which is what we often call death. Our mortality plays a part, but this life that is waiting for us is what we are called to look to, which enables us to get through the ups and downs, the changing seasons of our mortality. This kind of forward thinking, friends, this is what we are called to, and it's what's called to begin to change our world, our present. Okay, so forward thinking, I'm going to say there's a couple things that it does for us. One, it begins to change begins to say to us that the best is yet to come. So whatever's going on right now, whatever feels like it's never going to change, whatever is saying that this is the brokenness I'm just going to have to endure forever until I'm finally dead and it's all over, it's not. The best is yet to come, okay? Which can begin to change our perspective on what's going on in the present of this day. Doesn't say that the challenges we're facing aren't real and aren't difficult. It just simply says that we are not alone and we're not stuck in this place forever. It puts all those trials in their proper context. You see, when we see it through the lens of eternity, even this moment that we're having to walk through this difficult time, this valley of the shadow of death that we're walking through, we are walking through because we still have that context of the best is yet to come. It retains God's presence in the midst of whatever that struggle is. Again, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with me. It keeps our hearts away from the discouragement of believing the lies of the enemy, that what has happened to us is now defining us, that what is going on in us will never change. And it makes us, if we begin to believe and live that way, it makes us more attractive to the world that is looking for hope all around us. It is through this ability to be living with an eye towards heaven that enables us to endure the challenges and the hurdles that we deal with here that makes our lives different than the world around us. Enables us to be the aroma of Christ for all the world, so that the world is going to want to know what we have because they don't have that hope. In 1 Peter 3, it says, "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." The key here is that there are going to be people who will ask you, why would someone ask you about this hope you have unless they see that we're living this hope? Unless they see that the challenges we face, yeah, we all face our challenges, but we know that we are not made for this place. We know that we have a better destination that is awaiting us. Then as we live by that faith and we are pulled forward by that faith, and as we don't get bogged down in the realities of all that's going on right now, but continue to move forward, that's going to cause others to ask, how is it you have hope? This doesn't mean that we don't face challenges. Doesn't mean we don't get that diagnosis we didn't want to hear. Doesn't mean we won't lose people who we love. Of course we will. But how we grieve, how we endure, how we get through with an eye toward the future is what makes that aroma of Christ so sweet and spread to the world so that others will come and they will want to know. Now, the story of Abraham, we could go through and we could go into all the various different things, but this is the key. The key from Abraham's story for us out of Hebrews 11 is that he was living in the present, looking forward to what God had in store for him that he could not see until that day he was face to face. And we are invited to live in that same reality. Father, it is so good to be here today simply to be reminded of the goodness you have for us, of your goodness that you simply are as we walk through this life in this world. But we thank you all the more for the hope that you give to us, your goodness on display day to day, but your goodness which we can hold on to and be buoyed up by, of knowing what awaits us thanks to the grace that you've offered to us. It is out of your love for us, Father, that we are able to rest. That is out of your love for us that we are able to know that you have already given your one and only Son. That for all of us who believe, we will not perish, but we will have eternal life. Father, I pray that you would help us to live in that awareness, that reality, even as we go through the dailiness of the days that you give to us. Help us, Lord, truly to be like Abraham, looking forward to truly become that aroma of Jesus for all the world to begin to yearn for. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.